الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم موسوس فتبرنا ما إكرام بذن الرز Yesterday we had discussed some aspects about the importance of the mu'asharat and the social life, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed the manner of conducting oneself with people around, and the importance of upholding this. Otherwise, if there's any lapse in this aspect of deen, then even the ibadat and other amal of a person will get all lost to others whom we harm in the line of mu'asharat, and due to the lack of the proper akhlaq. So just to elaborate on that a little bit more, that this is a very, very fundamental part of deen. It's not a secondary aspect. The mu'asharat, akhlaq, these are not secondary things. These are fundamental things. And this is highlighted in the Quran Sharif, as we discussed several ayat yesterday, that the finer details, some finer details of mu'asharat in the Quran Sharif. So this is not a secondary aspect, it's a primary aspect. But it is often given less than its due importance, or sometimes no importance. It's not considered as an ibadat. It's not regarded that if I am making some sacrifice in this regard, then that too is a very great amal getting me closer to Allah Ta'ala. If a person has spent half the night, 1 hour in some ibadat, in tahajjud, so he feels I've done something, inshallah Allah accept, to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. But in the line of mu'asharat, in the line of akhlaq, if a person has made some sacrifice, he feels, well, I just did somebody a favor maybe, and that's where it stops. The consciousness of this being an ibadat, that is not there. Illa mashallah. So this is something that needs to be brought alive. This mu'asharat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the beautiful akhlaq that he taught. Allah Ta'ala made him the epitome of good akhlaq. And that's the example that he set. And Allah Ta'ala has given us that instruction in the Quran Sharif, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That in the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala is this beautiful and noble example. So why Allah gave the example? When somebody is teaching someone and he gives him an example, what is the purpose of that example? What you have been taught now in this example, you apply it and get the rest of it right. This is the purpose of the example. So Allah Ta'ala presented this most beautiful example to the ummah and to the whole of mankind in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala has then further in this ayat says, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. But who's going to latch on this? And who's going to appreciate this example? And who's going to emulate it? The beautiful personality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beautiful example, who's going to latch onto it? That person will be driven to latch onto it. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. The one who has yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala and yaqeen and conviction in the rewards of the akhirat. That this is not the be all and end all. Dunya is done and finished. No, there's a akhirat coming, and besides that, Allah is watching, Allah is aware. Allah Ta'ala knows what's in the heart of a person, what is his intention, what is his zeal in doing some action, why he restrained that anger, that it was for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. He took that bitter gulp, but he took that bitter gulp to please Allah Ta'ala. Allah is aware. Allah is all aware. So Allah says, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ, the one who has full conviction in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he has conviction that this is not gone in vain. The hereafter is coming. It's not like what I can see in terms of rands and cents, then that makes sense. And if I can't see it, then that doesn't make any sense to me. That makes more sense to him than what he can see. Because he has more yaqeen in the akhirat. This perishable thing, Allah knows, today it's here, tomorrow is not here. But that will be preserved by Allah Ta'ala. And وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Who's going to latch onto it? The one who remembers Allah Ta'ala excessively. So now he's conscious of Allah Ta'ala and he's conscious of akhirat. So now to keep doing what will bring him closer to Allah Ta'ala, that will become very easy to him. Even if it means some sacrifices on his side. So this aspect of mu'asharat that we were talking about yesterday, alhamdulillah, several details came forward. So some points more on that, and then this branch of akhlaq. So we discussed briefly the other aspects, but now this mu'asharat and akhlaq. So in this mu'asharat, what was mentioned is that we have been given this noble example of how to conduct ourselves, and the sacrifices that sometimes come with it. So now every person, this is for everyone, everyone is supposed to adopt the beautiful mu'asharat that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented to the ummah, and which Allah Ta'ala has highlighted many details in the Quran Sharif. But dunya is dunya. Dunya is dunya. And somebody would be part of that. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And somebody is neglectful of that. So somebody who is part of that group, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ, he's got full yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, yaqeen in the akhirat, he's remembering Allah Ta'ala abundantly, so he'll get the tawfiq of all this also. And then somebody is not so conscious of Allah Ta'ala, he's not so conscious of akhirat, forgets that there's a day of qiyamah coming. So then he's going to sometimes be doing the things right and sometimes doing it wrong, sometimes doing things as per the command of Sharia, sometimes forgetting Allah Ta'ala. So then what? So that person is going to shirk in mu'asharat, he's going to have poor akhlaq, because it doesn't bother him now, he's forgotten Allah Ta'ala, he's forgotten the akhirat. So then what's the way forward? So this dunya is dunya, and that is where some others will excel even more. How? Because they will adopt the higher akhlaq then. So one is the basic akhlaq which each person is responsible to adopt at all times. But then there are times when the demands come for even higher akhlaq. And when that comes about, when somebody else has shirked in what he's supposed to do. Somebody is, mashallah, very kind, considerate, taking care of the rights of others, and he's making sure that we are not inconvenienced by him, and we are also making sure we are not inconveniencing him. Alhamdulillah, there's no effort in that really. It's easy, both parties are, mashallah, considerate, both parties are doing what they're supposed to do. The husband is very considerate, and likewise is the wife. Both are fulfilling what they are supposed to do. Both are living by the culture of deen. The culture of the West is, what are my rights? That's a culture of the West. And the culture of deen, how can I do things with the best akhlaq? How I can go out of my way to conduct myself in the best, with the best character. Because I want to perfect my iman. And in the perfection of iman, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna min khiyarikum ahsanakum akhlaqa." The best among you is the one with the best akhlaq. And akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqa. The mu'min with the most perfect iman, the one with the best akhlaq. So now the one who's got that aspiration, he's got that as a goal, he's not just going about life, well, life will carry on, and one day I'll be gone, so we'll see. He's got aspiration to reach Allah Ta'ala as a friend of Allah Ta'ala, as a special friend, and with perfect iman. So our whole life might come out, but if that is the quest, then inshallah in the last moment of life Allah will give us that wilayat. So now this becomes the situation sometimes, that a person is trying, mashallah, he's doing what his responsibility is. So we're talking about that the culture of the West, that's a different matter, demanding rights. But the culture that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, so that is the culture by which a person will then go. So the higher level of akhlaq, which still keeps that mu'asharat going, because that is a goal, that is something deen has emphasized, that peace, that good feeling, that brotherhood, the bond and relationship, this must be maintained. So then, somebody is not doing his job, somebody is not doing what he's supposed to do, so then what? So that's when deen comes back to tell us what to do. And this is the beautiful way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sil man qata'ak." Join relationship with the one who cuts from you. Now a person who made tilawat for a few hours, he also understands, mashallah, and it is definitely Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, it's a great ibadat. Somebody made tahajjud, he feels Allah's tawfiq, he makes shukr, Allah Ta'ala gave the tawfiq, he made ibadat. Somebody gives charity, so he understands this is an ibadat. But somebody who goes to join relationships with those who cut off relationship, does he feel that I've been doing an ibadat? Whereas, in the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned, on the day of Eid al-Adha, now such a great ibadat is performed on the day of Eid al-Adha, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on that day, there is no action more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than the slaughtering of the animals of Qurbani. On that day, that is the most beloved action. So in other words, on that day, somebody sits down and makes one khatam of the Quran Sharif, alhamdulillah, excellent. But he cannot match the reward of Qurbani on that day. Somebody spend the night in tahajjud, the whole night, alhamdulillah, very great. But still the act of Qurbani on that day is still more beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Somebody gave, that Qurbani animal was worth 2,000 rands, 2,500 rands, 3,000 rands. And somebody else gave 100,000 rands in sadaqah on that day. That he'll get very great reward for that. But that 100,000 in sadaqah can't equate the reward of this Qurbani, which cost 3,000 rands. Because this is a very special ibadat of this day. But in one Hadith Sharif, there's an exception mentioned. That this is the most beloved amal to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Eid al-Adha. Except the one who goes to join family relationships. Now subhanallah, can we imagine what an ibadat this is? And this is part of mu'asharat. So now this, who somebody has been cutting ties and a person goes ahead to join it, on the day of Eid, this is Eid al-Adha, this is even more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than the slaughtering of those Qurbani animals, which is more beloved than everything else on that day. So this Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, now this is that next step. In dunya we are always looking at doing things at the next level, always upgrading things, and always want to upgrade our things around us, and we're always looking and dreaming about the next level in dunya, next level, that we need to now get to another level of whatever investments and so on and so forth.
what is within the limits of Sharia, well and good. But what about the upgrades in deen? And that upgrade which brings a person closer to Allah Ta'ala. So that is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is presenting to us. Silman qata'ak. You join ties of relationship with the one who cuts from you. And then, wa'fu amman zalamak. Forgive the one who has oppressed you. Now on the one side, deen has given clearly what is the right. That an eye for an eye. That is the right of a person. In other words, in equal measure, he is entitled to take the revenge in equal measure. Not one but more, otherwise he'll become zalim. Somebody said 10 words to him, and he said 10 and a half back. He was first mazloom, now he's zalim. But in equal measure, Sharia has given that very clearly. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. But the culture deen is teaching, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. In the same ayat. That he is entitled to this. This is his right. But Allah Ta'ala says immediately, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The one who forgives and reconciles. And his reward is with Allah Ta'ala. That reward is not even mentioned because it's so great. Somebody who's very, very generous, very wealthy, and he called somebody, I got something for you. And now somebody went, please come and collect it. If he's going to go collect it, if that person sends him off with a 20 rands, he will feel humiliated to do that. How can I give this? 20 rand is beneath my dignity to do so. His generosity won't allow him. We're talking about akramul akramin. We're talking about Allah Ta'ala saying, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. His reward is with Allah Ta'ala. What can we imagine that reward? And all this is not credit. But how that barakat comes in dunya, if that had to be opened out now, then the test of dunya is gone. So those who have, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. They have yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala. Allah has said, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That barakat will come in dunya also. It's not all credit. What is in akhirat is beyond imagination. But the barakat of that would come in many ways, which a person won't realize where this came from and how it came. And barakat, the one part of barakat is material barakat. That is a smaller part of barakat. But the barakat that comes, that takes a person forward in his deen, the barakat that comes in the form of tawfiq, that is real barakat. The barakat that comes in the form that this now gets to one's progeny, that they become pious, Allah Ta'ala puts them onto the path of deen, that is barakat in a higher level. But we tend to just only look for barakat in the material things. That too is barakat, it comes in that too. And that's what we should be aspiring for, barakat. One is kasrat, the big numbers. But if that big numbers come without barakat, there will be big problems. And if it's small numbers with barakat, that too will go a long way. And if it's big numbers with big barakat, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur. So, silman qata'ak, wa'afu amman zalamak, forgive the one who has oppressed you. But subhanallah, our deen goes even beyond that. The beautiful and noble example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to get and what to achieve in getting even closer to Allah Ta'ala. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. And you return somebody's ill treatment with good treatment. Subhanallah. Nowhere else in the world will anything like this be taught, but in the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala blessed us with. Nowhere else this will be taught. Everywhere else will be the book of rights. But this is the book of Allah Ta'ala, and the book of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Hadith Sharif, where you'll find this. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. In the Kitab of Allah Ta'ala. And in the Hadith Sharif, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. So these are the principles by which this entire branch of mu'asharat then works very well. So on the one side is the hadith we discussed yesterday, which is the foundation of mu'asharat. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The explanation of this was given yesterday. That this is the foundation of mu'asharat. That this is the person entitled to this title of Muslim. That he doesn't cause any taklif to others verbally or by his actions. But this is the crown of mu'asharat. That's the foundation. And this is the crown of mu'asharat. That a person lives by this. So what will be his ajr with Allah Ta'ala is beyond imagination. Allah has given that wada and promise in the Quran Sharif. So in any case, this is the very important branch of deen. Because of neglecting this, not being conscious about it, then homes are on fire, and there's issues everywhere, and yet so much of it could have been easily resolved had we lived by these guidelines and rules of mu'asharat in the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif. And then alongside that comes the aspect of akhlaq. So these are all branches of deen. So yesterday we had discussed this, and Hazrat Thami Rahmatullah Alayhi, this is his explanation, that ibadat, most people, even the one who's not fulfilling it, he knows this is necessary, this is an obligation. And those who are doing it, alhamdulillah, they are doing it. And then mu'amalat, there's a certain ibadat, everybody is conscious, illa mashallah. Mu'amalat, a good number. Those who have some consciousness, they are conscious of mu'amalat as well, that I must be very careful about halal, haram. But then when it comes to mu'asharat, then that percentage drops tremendously. Another thing is akhlaq, most people don't even realize it's part of deen. Whereas the beautiful akhlaq that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed, Allah Ta'ala declared that in the Quran Sharif, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Now this is right at the very fundamental level, as they call it, grassroots level. What kind of akhlaq is displayed there? Akhlaq is not what we term as etiquette. Akhlaq is not etiquette. When a person has correct akhlaq, he will have the correct etiquette as well. Etiquette is one small aspect which a person of good akhlaq will have the right etiquette. And a person without akhlaq will sometimes pretend to have the etiquette. But akhlaq is something that stems inside the heart. And this sil man qata'ak wa'afu amman zalamak wa ahsin ila man asa'ilik. It's that akhlaq in the heart that makes that possible. Akhlaq in the heart. Yes, there's sometimes a lot of sabr required. That sabr is akhlaq. That is a root of many other branches of akhlaq, aspects of akhlaq. Now that person who is making that sabr, so sometimes there are a lot of bitter gulps, but he's doing it for Allah Ta'ala. وَالْقَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. He's got his gaze on that ayat. سَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. But Allah Ta'ala says, hasten. We hasten towards many things in dunya. Allah is saying, hasten in this direction. Towards what? إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. To the maghfirat of your Rabb. That we hear over and over again. Allah Ta'ala's maghfirat. Allah forgive us. What's the value of this will be understood on the day of Qiyamah. When a person is given that certificate of maghfirat, and if not, Allah forbid, what's awaiting? Then a person will understand what is maghfirat. And if he's a couple of good deeds short, and the bad deeds have outweighed the good deeds, then he'll understand what's the value of maghfirat. And that maghfirat is what we survive by in dunya. Had it not been Allah forgiving us so much, we won't survive. وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. Allah says if he had to take everyone to task for everything they did, everything that a person went out of line, if Allah took him to task, nobody will survive. ما ترك عليها من دابة ولكن يؤخرهم إلى أجل مسمى. Allah Ta'ala leaves it for a later time, maybe he'll make Tawbah, otherwise then Akhirat is still coming. So now, the sabr in the heart. So now the person is adopting that sabr because he's got his gaze on this ayat. Al-Kaazimin. Now Allah Ta'ala says, hasten towards the maghfirat of your Rabb and towards Jannat. Dunya, how long are you going to run towards dunya? Sooner or later that dunya is not going to be any more there because you're going to be gone out of dunya. So whatever moderate effort is required for dunya will carry on within the limits of Shariat, but hasten towards akhirat, hasten towards Jannat. But Jannatin arduha samawatu wal ard, who is this Jannat for? U'iddat lil muttaqeen, for the muttaqeen, this taqwa which the month of Ramadan we keep hearing about. Allah then highlights some of the salient aspects of the muttaqeen, that they have numerous things. Taqwa is all about refraining from Allah's disobedience. But what are the salient aspects of these muttaqeen in this particular ayat of the Quran Sharif? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّى وَالضَّرَّى. They spend in ease on the servants of Allah Ta'ala, on the poor, the destitute, the widows, the orphans, in the path of Allah Ta'ala, in the cause of deen. They spend when they are in a state of ease, Wadarra, and even in adversity, in the state of ease, somebody could easily spend maybe 10,000, 100,000. In adversity, he could spend 10 rand, but he's spending the 10 rand too, in the path of Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't mean that he's unable to spend the 10,000, so he won't spend the 10 when he can spend 10. Because Allah Ta'ala, in His court, is not the quantity that mainly counts, but it is the sincerity in it. And with the sincerity, the quantity will also bring greater reward, obviously. And then Allah says, "Wal kaazimeen al ghayz wal aafina anin nas wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin." Now who's able to adopt that sabr, take that bitter gulp for Allah Ta'ala alone, who's got his gaze on this ayat of the Quran Sharif, that the muttaqeena who, and who is Allah saying, hasten towards Jannat, hasten towards Allah's maghfirat, they are those wal kaazimeen al ghayz. They restrain their anger. So Mashallah, Thani rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say, ye islah ka pehla qadam. The first step in islah. Now, person wants to make his islah, he wants to correct himself, rectify himself. Say the first step in islah is to learn how to control one's anger. Because when that anger is not controlled, then a person blurts out anything, does anything, and the damage of that is sometimes very great in dunya also, and in akhirat beyond imagination sometimes. Islah ka pehla qadam. First step towards gaining that islah, learning to control anger. Now these people have gone through the mill, they've seen all the ups and downs, and now they're putting it in a summary, in a nutshell. Look, you want to get going forward, start off by learning to control your anger. Now this mu'asharah that we're talking about, this is one of the key issues that puts the whole thing upside down, that we don't know how to control our anger. Yes, we get upset, insan is insan, we get upset. But what's the right thing to say? How, what's the right way to go about resolving that issue, addressing that issue? In that anger we forget about all that. After the damage is done, something that was a problem of maybe 2 out of 10, after we vented our anger, it became 11 out of 10. So now the person has got his gaze on this ayat of the Quran Sharif, because the Quran Sharif Allah gave us for us to practice upon and take from the rewards of Allah Ta'ala. Wal kaazimeen al ghayz, that they restrain their anger. And then, not just restrain their anger, Allah says, then wal aafina anin nas, they even forgive. Because they want to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. They've got their gaze on Jannat. They want Allah's maghfirat. They want to be the muqarrabeen, the close servants of Allah Ta'ala. So yes, this is mujahada, but al-mushahada bi qadri al-mujahada. The mushahada and enjoying the very special bounties from Allah Ta'ala, the ni'mat of getting that special closeness to Allah Ta'ala, that is to the extent of the mujahada. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ, they restrain their anger, they don't stop there. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, they forgive people, and they don't stop there either. The same message that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave in the Hadith Sharif is extracted from this ayat. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, they want to become beloved to Allah Ta'ala. They want to become beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah loves the muhsineen, those who make ihsan. They forgave and they made ihsan also. Now this is deen. Deen is all these branches of deen. We discussed ibadat, mu'amalat, likewise mu'asharat, and this akhlaq. Person adopting good akhlaq, he's making sabr, does he think he's doing an ibadat? He is making ithar, giving preference to somebody else. Does he think about it as an ibadat? Oh well, this is my brother, this is my friend, this is somebody I know, so now khair, give him preference. Oh, this is an ibadat. And a person adopting akhlaq, does he think about it that this was the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who displayed the highest level of akhlaq, and in things which we regard as sometimes below our dignity, but that is highlighting the akhlaq and mu'asharat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was once asked that how was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indoors? Point of reflection for us. Because outdoors, mashallah, we all can present ourselves as angels, that's how we normally do. So outdoors, mashallah, everybody has very good things to say about us. So somebody asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that how was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indoors? Because who knows better the character of a person than his wife? Because they see the true colors of a person. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's manner, his way of conducting himself, this is what she was asked. So her response, and a spontaneous response. She didn't have to think about anything. It was like as if somebody just touched the topic which was bubbling to come up. Said, Kana alyana nas. First she started off by saying, Kana alyana nas wa akrama nas, subhanallah. He was the most lenient of people, the most gracious of people. Kana rajulam min ar-rijal. At home he was like an ordinary person. Whereas he was the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation. But he made himself like just one of the people of the home. And then he says, إِلَّا أَنَّهُ كَانَ ضَحَّاكًا بَسَّامًا. Yes, but especially, take note of this. He's saying, إِلَّا, this إِلَّا here is, it's especially this. Especially this, that at home, he was forever smiling and jovial. Now, point of reflection for us. What's our conduct indoors? What kind of certificate we'll get from indoors? That indoor certificate might say, he's better outdoors. That when he comes indoors, then we all have to be on edge. Is that the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought? What is his beautiful example? On another occasion somebody asked, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what was the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at home? He kana basharam min al-bashar. He was like any other human being. So any other human being meaning? So then she went on to elaborate, kana yafli thawbahu wa yahlubu shatahu wa yakhdimu nafsahu. Now she's giving some examples of what are termed or regarded as very menial things. That he would check on his clothes himself, if there's anything, sometimes now while being out in the company of people, etc. So if sometimes anything has come onto his clothing, He would not instruct somebody else to look for it and see, take out anything that might not be good there. He would look for it himself. And if there was milk needed, now that was a very, very menial task. If a person had somebody else to do it, some servant, slave, they'll never do it themselves. That'll be somebody else's job to do it. That was regarded as a very menial task. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam needed to milk the animal, to take some milk, he would go and do it himself. وَيَخْدِمُ نَفْسَهُ He would help himself, serve himself. He needed something, he wasn't giving instructions out. He would do his own work and his own khidmat. On one occasion, Sayyidah Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha says that I was sitting one day and I was knitting something. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting and mending his shoes. He was busy mending his shoes. Now then there's a lengthy narration, but just this portion was what is connected to our discussion. He is sitting in his own house, his wife is present, but he didn't say, look, this thing needs mending, sort it out. When I come tomorrow, make sure it's done. That's our language, our tone, our manner. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Imamul Mu'mineen and Muttaqeen, and Ba'adas Khuda Buzruk Tu'i Qissa Mukhtasar, after Allah Ta'ala, then the rank is of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With his Mubarak hands, he's sitting to mend his shoe. And then there's other aspects mentioned in the hadith as well. He used to sweep the house. كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ Once somebody asked her, what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do indoors? He used to help out with the household things. But yes, فَإِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةَ خَرَجَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةَ When the time of salah came, like he knew nobody, he immediately left for salah. But otherwise, he was one of the people of the house, helping out in household chores. And for us, that might become something very below our dignity. Do you realize who I am? All these big, big titles with my name, and you want me to now sweep the house, what do you think of me? But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't find it below his dignity to help out with these things. But these things have gone so far away that some, mashallah, all kinds of reasonings we have, very, very good reasonings, say, no, if I start doing it, then they'll take advantage of me. Then I might become part of my daily duty then. So I'd rather not do it. So what wonderful reasonings we have. But have we had this thought also? Okay, not every day, but this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this brings that mu'asharat alive, that mu'asharat brings what? That mu'asharat brings what is desired out of a home. As we discussed yesterday, one is a house. A house is four walls. But if there's no mahabba in there, like a just empty house, you call it a house. Empty house, nobody says it's a home. But if it's inhabited also, but it's devoid of peace, devoid of that sukoon, of that good relationship, of that mahabba, of that well-wishing for each other, then that too is a house, not a home. So this is mu'asharat, when it comes alive, it makes it a home. It might be a hut. It might be a hut, a very, very simple structure of the most basic level. But it will be a home when the mu'asharat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in it. And it might be the most palatial place, but if this mu'asharat is absent, then it will be a house. And then there's so much else about the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one hadith it is narrated, لَمْ يَكُنْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَاحِشًا Neither was he vulgar by nature, nor deliberately vulgar. Some people are not vulgar by nature, but now sometimes they'll make themselves vulgar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never anywhere close to vulgarity. And vulgarity could never come anywhere close to him. Now what is our tongues becoming accustomed to? What role this tongue which we recite Quran Sharif with, take Allah Ta'ala's name with, and then on the same tongue vulgarity,
The example now, the person, that spoon, he uses it to eat some food. The same spoon is using it to clean dirt also. Does it make sense? Will he want to use that spoon thereafter to eat food with it? Now the same tongue that he needs to take Allah's name with it, but this tongue is being soiled in vulgarity, in obscenity, in ghibat, in lying, all kinds of other sins of the tongue. So Allah Ta'ala's grace, we need to make tawbah, istighfar, and cleanse our tongues with this soap of istighfar and sincere repentance. Allah allows us to take His name. Otherwise, like we see a dirty utensil, don't bring that here. That spoon, take it away somewhere else. Allah Ta'ala could have made us mute to take His name. Don't give us that tawfiq. Snatch the tawfiq away. The thought also, don't come take Allah's name with that tongue. And that is to fear that when a person keeps misusing his tongue, that the tawfiq of taking Allah's name, reciting Allah's Quran, that goes away. Person can sit the whole night and talk stories, but the tawfiq of reading one ayat sometimes won't come. But he was awake the whole night, but the tawfiq for one ayat didn't come. The tawfiq of sitting and just making istighfar 10 times, that didn't come. The tawfiq of 2 rakats of tahajjud didn't come. Person was awake that time, wide awake, but didn't come. That is the biggest azab that can be inflicted on a person. Far worse than any other kind of azab is the azab of snatching away the tawfiq. So these are all the things about the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is what Allah Ta'ala is giving us in this ayat of the Quran Sharif. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. This beautiful, noble example in the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for who? For us. It's for us to take it. This is an example for us to follow. But who's going to follow it? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. The one who has yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, his iman has been strengthened. So we need to strengthen our iman. Otherwise these are all just concepts. It's all just theory. But the reality of it, that will be missing. It will be accepted. Iman is there on it, but like a concept. But that conviction which drives a person, like somebody just says just now, that they're distributing Kruger coins outside. We don't know whether it's true also, but we'll run. Because there's a chance it could be true now. Somebody's saying it in the masjid. So there's a level of conviction already on something we don't even know whether it's genuine. So that conscious or that high level of hope that is possible is true drove the person out. To the extent of conviction and yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, the strength of iman, then it will drive a person forward to earn these great rewards. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. You know, dunya is not the be all and end all. I want to invest things for the akhirat. I want to make big investments for the akhirat, because that's where I'll need it. So now he's got akhirat in front of him. It'll become easy for him to make those investments of akhirat. And وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. He's remembering Allah Ta'ala abundantly, then the remembrance of dunya becomes maghloob. That becomes dominated. And the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is dominating. So this is part of insan. He has to fulfill his needs of dunya, etc. But that will be above everything. And that will drive him to make the right choices, to make the right investments. It will help him to restrain that anger. It will help him, وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, to forgive. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now if we start practicing this right within the four walls of our own home, then our homes will become gardens of Jannah. And then as we spread it out, then the communities and the ummah will become the same. But it starts off with us. We always, the reason why the efforts of bringing the rectification of muashara in general, why often this doesn't make much of a difference, is because we're always trying to correct somebody else. But we don't start off correcting ourselves. And we don't reflect within ourselves. When something is being discussed, then it is who it applies to besides me. But for me to reflect, I am speaking for me to reflect within me. That I am telling everybody what's in my life. How much have I applied this? And when listening to these kind of aspects discussed in any talk of Deen, then at that point in time to reflect on ourselves. How does this apply to me? What am I supposed to do? What's my mu'asharat at home? How am I conducting myself? These are the things now to take to heart. These are the lessons that Allah Ta'ala has given us in the Quran Sharif, that Rasulullah has given us. This is this month of Ramadan. This taqwa is about all this. Allah Ta'ala said that this aspect is for the muttaqeen, this maghfirat, and the jannat is for the muttaqeen. And who are the muttaqeen? In this ayat Allah is highlighting these are the muttaqeen. They say in characteristics, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So now this is what we need to take along from the month of Ramadan. And this is what we need to put into our lives. And inshallah we'll see the great benefit this will bring to us, the sukoon, the peace within our homes, within our families, in the ummah at large. And this is the very small part of the benefit what we'll get in dunya. This too is very great in itself, but it's a minor part of it. The real reward of that, dunya is too small a place for it. The real reward of it is in the akhirah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala grant us that beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his beautiful mu'asharat, his beautiful mu'amalat. The thought or the thing to think about is, how much do we make dua for this? How often do we ask Allah ta'ala to bless us with that beautiful akhlaq? To bless us with that beautiful mu'asharat and mu'amalat? Do we make dua for it? Now dua is the most important part of the effort, because it starts off with begging Allah ta'ala for that help, for that tawfiq. But if dua is also not there, what is really our aspiration for it? We're not even asking Allah ta'ala to help us to acquire it, to grant it to us. Then it has never become our goal yet. So to make it a goal, this is my goal. Like this month of Ramadan, we have to make it our goal now, that we're going to shun all sin and vice. We made tawbah from it. The gambling dens will never see us again. And no way anything of that nature will happen in our lives, inshallah. The zina dens won't hear about us again. And likewise, all the other places of vice. This is the time of tawbah. These minutes are running out. Allah knows best we have one more day or not. To do two more days or one day left. But if this ticks away, then this month is gone. This barakat of this time is gone. That knock which comes in the heart in this Mubarak time may not come after. That knock that has come on the heart now, that let me make sincere tawbah, I don't ever want to step into these places of vice again. That is what we need to take from Ramadan. That decision that I've shunned all vice, all sin, made tawbah. And Allah forbid, if ever there's a slip again, then tawbah will not be delayed at all. We live between these two T's that we discussed. Taqwa and tawbah. Immediate tawbah. Ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. This is the message of Ramadan. In one hadith sharif, we'll finish off on this. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the prescription to live by. And take this as the message of Ramadan. And it ties in with our discussion is as well. Ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Fear Allah Ta'ala, adopt taqwa, be conscious of Allah Ta'ala wherever you are. And with wherever you are comes along whenever it is. Whether it is Ramadan or out of Ramadan. Whether in the masjid in i'tikaf, or whether in one's home, or whether out of the street, or somewhere in another country in Timbuktu or China, where it seems nobody knows me here, I'm free to do as I please. No, Allah is aware. Ittaqillah haythuma kunta. So now the effort will be to live one's life on taqwa. But insan can slip. Insan is not an angel. And the insan that way, ma'asoom with Anbiya alayhi wa salam.
The rest of insan are not masoom. Yes, they are those very special servants of Allah Ta'ala. They are mahfooz. Allah Ta'ala protects them. But the rest of people like us, so we are insan, very weak insan. So the effort is to live with taqwa and to adopt all the means that keep us with taqwa, the right environments, the right company, shunning all those means that trap us and drop us into sin, coming to our senses and realization of what that phone is doing to us. And if that phone has been responsible for soiling us and making our hearts the sewer system of the world, that all the filth of the world is flushing through our hearts, and if that phone has become the means of causing havoc in our lives, then we have to come to a understanding of where this is taking us and make decisions. So now, to stay with taqwa, these are all parts of the equation, that those decisions have to be made, that we keep in the right environments, in the right company, and shun all those means that take us to sin. So the first part of this hadith sharif, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. And then being insan, we can slip somewhere. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That if you slipped up somewhere, then immediately do a righteous deed. And what is the most important righteous deed then? There was a slip up. The most important righteous deed thereafter is tawbah. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That if you slipped up, you've committed some wrong, then immediately follow it with a righteous deed, and the most important righteous deed is tawbah, tamkhuha. It will delete it. Sincere tawbah, begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and with that resolve that inshallah this world will not happen again. And then in this hadith sharif, it started off on the note of taqwa wherever we are. And then if there's a slip somewhere, then immediately tawbah. And then not only tawbah, it must be then, there must be more goodness. وَأَدْبِي السَّيِّيَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Person was driving somewhere, he needed to reach now a certain destination by a certain time. So now he needs to go, it's a 1 hour journey. But now on the road, they become detour came. So now if he was going to drive at 120, he was going to reach in time. But now some detour came, he ended up on the, took a turn by mistake. So now another 5 minutes got lost. So now when he comes back on the road, now he'll drive at 130. So that he gets, covers up for the lost time. So now the person got lost little bit. He went in some wrong, some sin. So now he must up his good deeds. So surround somewhere and make some, a part of the sincere tawbah, 200 times istighfar, make few rakats of nafil, wet the musalla with some tears of remorse and regret, recite some Quran Sharif, give some sadaqah, وَأَتْبِي الْحَسَنَةَ سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Now that will erase the sin and erase the effects of the sin also inshallah. And then the third aspect in this hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And deal with everybody with good akhlaq. Deal with everybody with good akhlaq. This is the message of Ramadan. Taqwa, tawbah, akhlaq. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to practice on all these teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, and make us among His muqarrabeen, among His true servants. Deen becomes our maqsood and objective of life. The aspiration of akhirat must become our aspiration, Jannat. And in Jannat to see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to gain Allah Ta'ala's closeness and nearness, that must become our greatest aspiration. Allah Ta'ala keep us with afiyat in our dunya as well. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Beside the Rujal.
صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله، 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدانِ ہوں، دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدانِ ہوں، تو ہی تو ہو، تو ہی تو ہو، تو ہی تو ہو، غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر، تو ہی تو آئے نظر، دیکھو جدھر، اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل، درد دل ہو، درد دل ہو، درد دل، نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ، اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر، چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ، مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو، بد کردار ناماسیاں، تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب، بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ، اب تو رہے بستا دم آخر، ورد زبائیں میرے الہ، لا إله إلا الله، 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 لا إله إلا illa Allah, la ilaha 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 illa Allah, محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، ظلمنا أنفسنا، ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين، غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان، واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان، اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا، اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا، اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا، وأصلح ذات بيننا، واهدنا سبل السلام، ونجنا من الظلمات إلى النور، وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن، وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. وبارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقلوبنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا، وتب علينا وتب علينا، إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. واجعلنا شاكرين لنعمتك، مثنين بها، قابليها، وأتمها علينا. إله العالمين، يا الله، O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. إله العالمين، يا الله، يا الله، you forgive us, يا الله. Forgive all our major and minor sins, يا الله. The sins of the day and night, يا الله. What we did deliberately and mistakenly, يا الله. إله العالمين، make our complete مغفرت، يا الله. يا الله، forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهد أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إله العالمين، يا الله، blow the winds of hidayah، يا الله، يا الله، blow the winds of hidayah، يا الله. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا، اللهم اهد الناس جميعا، اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين، غير ضالين ولا مضلين. إله العالمين، يا الله، bless us with your محبة، يا الله، bless us with your محبة، يا الله، follow us with your محبة، يا الله. اللهم ارزقنا حبك، اللهم ارزقنا حبك، اللهم ارزقنا حبك، وحب من يحبك، وحب عمل يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلينا ومن الماء البارد. إله العالمين، take all the haram lover of our hearts, يا الله. All the filth take it out of our hearts, يا الله. يا الله، full our hearts with your محبة، يا الله. يا الله، full our hearts with the محبة of نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Fill it with the love of his Mubarak way of life, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with the love of Deen, ya Allah. With the love of Salah, ya Allah. The love of Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, ya Allah. The love of Zikr and Dua, ya Allah. The love of making an effort for Deen, ya Allah. Of making khidmat of Deen, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. The love of upholding the Mubarak Sunnah, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us that love, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, ya Allah. Make every pore of our body ooze from your love, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, what kind of life you will lead, ya Allah? If we have all the filth in our hearts, ya Allah, and we are distanced from you, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Then, ya Allah, we are the friends of nafs and shaitan. We'll be their muscles, ya Allah.
Bilahul Alameen, cleanse us out of all the filth, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us among your muqarrabeen, Ya Allah. Grant us the nisbat of the awliya siddiqeen, Ya Allah. Bilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, bless us with the wealth of ihsan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us among the muhsineen, Ya Allah. Bilahul Alameen, make us among the kazimeen al-ghayz, Ya Allah. Wal afeen anin nas, Ya Allah. Make us among the muhsineen, Ya Allah. Bilahul Alameen, make us among the tawabeen, Ya Allah. Among the mutatahireen, Ya Allah. Bilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make us among those, Ya Allah, who are filled with all the beautiful and noble qualities of iman, Ya Allah, with taqwa, Ya Allah, with tawazu, Ya Allah, with khashiyat, Ya Allah, with inabat, Ya Allah, with generosity, Ya Allah, with compassion and kindness, Ya Allah, with forgiveness, Ya Allah, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all the beautiful and noble qualities of iman, Ya Allah, Allah, fill it in us, Ya Allah, cleanse us from the pride, Ya Allah, the arrogance, Ya Allah, the jealousy, Ya Allah, the malice, Ya Allah, the love of dunya, Ya Allah, the love of the ego, Ya Allah, and all the evils of the heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse us from all these maladies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. And keep us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. You save us from nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil waleed. Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil waleed. Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. You save God us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, at every step, Ya Allah, you guide us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't leave us to ourselves for the blink of an eye, Ya Allah. Allahumma la takilna ila anfusina tarfata ayn. Ya Allah, don't leave us to the blink of an eye to ourselves, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with the beautiful muamalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bless us with his beautiful muasharat, Ya Allah. Bless us with his beautiful akhlaq, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make us your loyal servants, Ya Allah. Make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us among the muttaqeen, Ya Allah. Make us among the sabireen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this time, Mubarak time, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the things that we should have been asking you, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept all the amal that were taking place, Ya Allah. Accept each one's fast, Ya Allah. Each one's tilawat of the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah. The zikr and dua, Ya Allah. The efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Whatever amal we done, Ya Allah. Accept the atikaf, Ya Allah. Make it a means of gaining your qurb, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. All the weaknesses that we have had, Ya Allah. All the, Ya Allah, shortcomings, Ya Allah. Out of your grace and mercy, forgive it, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. All the good that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged for, Allah, we are also begging for all that good, Ya Allah. Whatever he sought refuge from, Allah, grant us refuge as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله